Let's look at a lot together. Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this time that we can be gathered together in your very presence as your children. Thank you for first reaching out to us in your love, in your grace. Thank you that we are your children and you love us, you care for us, you provide for every need. We thank you especially for the scriptures and the Spirit of God who helps us to understand what you desire to teach us and communicate to us through the scriptures. We pray especially that you will help us to understand the central truths in the scriptures. It will make a difference to how we live our lives and how we can respond well to your calling and participate meaningfully in our working of your purposes. We commit this time to your hands and pray that you be pleased to bless us with your presence and speak to us in a way that we can understand. It will make a difference to our lives, our living for you. For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been considering the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. The subtopic for today is the big picture, some observations, the fifth message. In the preceding messages on the big picture, we noted that if we want to respond well to God's call, it's very helpful to have this big picture, to see how various aspects and issues of the Christian life fit into the big picture. And these messages can help us to see the biblical big picture, which is what we are interested in. Not just big pictures that people present to us, but we want to understand what is the big picture that God wants us to capture so that we can develop proper convictions and that we can have a mindset that can be helpful for our daily life, our approach to various issues and the way we consider issues, and also how we appreciate, understand the scriptures. So we have noted it is helpful and meaningful to recognize the relationship between the following expressions: the mystery, Christ, the gospel, the faith, the word, and the kingdom of God. And to know that these are major themes in the scriptures, and not only that, they all flow forth from the same core area of truth. What has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world? That is the mystery. It pertains to God's eternal purpose and how he desires to accomplish it, including our part in it. This is the central message of the scriptures. And it is helpful if we can see how the rest of the scriptures are related to and how they flow forth from this core area of truth. Appreciating this area of truth and the meaning of and relationship between the various expressions can also help us see different shades of meaning and help us see richer meaning in various verses and passages, and also how to appreciate the various books in the scriptures, especially the Gospels, the Epistles, and also the Book of Acts. We have considered how what we have covered can help us appreciate the richness of meaning of the following expressions in the respective context. One is the meaning of what was entrusted to the Apostle Paul and the ministry of Paul, that is, to fully carry out the Word of God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. The expression, fully carry out the word of God. Secondly, the meaning of believers in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, preaching the word. What is the meaning of preaching the word? Then thirdly, the scope and ambit of the prayer request of the believers that God may grant them to speak, or in the words recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, speak your word with all confidence. The key phrase is, speak your word. What does that mean? And also the way God answered their prayer, that they began to speak the word of God with boldness. What's the scope and ambit of speaking the word of God? And all these are very relevant to us. When we appreciate these various areas that we've been considering, it will help us to understand what God wants to communicate to us when these words and phrases are there in the scriptures. The last part of the last message, we saw how God enabled the apostles to continue teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ every day. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ is one way of describing the content of the ministry of the Word of God and what was being transmitted. Today I wish to continue to consider with you the Apostle Paul described the content of his ministry in the same way. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, he wrote, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." When Paul wrote in this way, he's saying that the meaning and implications of Jesus Christ and him crucified captures the totality of his ministry. The totality of his ministry. That's why he says, "I determined to know nothing among you, nothing else, just this, Jesus Christ and him crucified." From this expression, "Jesus Christ and him crucified," it involves the recognition that Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. Christ there actually is the same word as Messiah, the meaning. So Christ is the Messiah whom God has sent, what the Old Testament was looking forward to, and how Christ, when he came, he also inaugurated the new covenant through his death and resurrection. And all this is to accomplish God's purposes and intentions for us in Christ, which Paul wrote about in Ephesians. Especially Ephesians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 captures this part, God's intentions for us in Christ. And also includes our participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes as members of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, Christ resurrected, death of Christ, resurrection of Christ, and now Christ seeks to work through his body. So when Paul says, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified," death, resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, what is he doing now in this world? What is the goal? How does he go about it? Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians captures many important points. But we can say the totality of Paul's ministry is to transmit, to help believers understand what is the message that God wants to communicate to us and how then we can respond and fulfill the part that God desires of us. It also includes our submission to Christ as head of the body, the church. So all this is the content of Paul's ministry. In different ways, he seeks to accomplish it, including the epistles, and also in all that he had sought to do. It's helpful for us to recognize that Paul uses different expressions to cover the ministry God had entrusted to him. Jesus Christ and him crucified is one of them, but there are various others. But first, let us also look at and take note that these words of Paul are part of a meaningful passage that's very relevant to what we are considering. Let's look at the context of these words. When Paul says, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Let us now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or rather 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It's good if we can look at this passage. Paul wrote, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." And if you look at the margin, the word testimony, there's an interesting note in the margin that says, one early manuscript reads, mystery. So Paul says, I did not come with superiority or speech of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony or the mystery of God. It's the same meaning. When Paul came, you're seeking to teach, to preach, to communicate the testimony of God or the mystery of God. And this comes through quite clearly as we go on. Paul went on to say, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the phrase, remember, I was saying the context. So when Paul says he came proclaiming the testimony of the mystery of God, what is that? That is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's the same thing. He came proclaiming to them, teaching them these things, and it has to do with this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so verse 3 he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, much trembling. And that is to tell us that this message that God has given to him, entrusted to him, that he sought to fulfill, is something very, very important. He didn't treat it lightly. Not that he was fearful in a negative sense, but he came and he ministered with a deep sense of the significance of what was entrusted to him. And he went on, my message, in the margin, is this literary word. My message or my word, the ministry of the word, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Again, he says the same thing. I didn't come with words of wisdom, and he's talking about human wisdom. As we go on, this becomes very clear. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So what was his message? He tells us in verse 2, Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is the good news, the gospel, the cross. And to transmit this, it requires the enabling of the Spirit. And also Paul's own appreciation. It requires the Spirit to help him to see these things. As he ministered, it was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What the Spirit of God taught him, and also the way he ministered, there was the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the way the ministry of the Word, proper ministry of the Word, can properly come through. Verse 5, Paul says, so that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. If it's just man's wisdom, you will not benefit anybody. It has to be the power of God at work. But Paul went on to say, yet we do speak wisdom. So not, he didn't come in human wisdom, but he says we do speak wisdom. Verse 6, but it's wisdom not of this age. It is not worldly wisdom. It is not of this age. Verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. So the message does come with wisdom, but it is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. The content of the message, as well as how it is presented, if done properly, will manifest the wisdom of God and the power of God. So the wisdom not of this age is God's wisdom in a mystery. It's the revelation of the mystery. And it is also a manifestation of God's wisdom. This comes through also very clearly in Ephesians, and even in the very first chapter of Ephesians. Paul tells us the revelation of the mystery. God made known the mystery of his will, and is a manifestation of the grace of God and the love of God, as well as the wisdom of God. It comes from God. But not only that, Paul went on to say in verse 7, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden, which we have already seen. Paul tells us, including Ephesians and other epistles, that the mystery was hidden in times past, but now made known with the coming of Christ. So we speak God's wisdom, the hidden, which God predestined before the ages. Predestined before the ages. The mystery. The content of what God wants to communicate now to his people was already in the heart of God. Predestined before the ages. Before God created anything. Before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul tells us also in Ephesians. And not only that, it says, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Man, frail, living in sin. But God not only wants us to be forgiven, reconciled back to him, but that we may actually be transformed to manifest the glory of God. And at the same time also, God is glorified as he works in us, as he works through us. And we can cross-reference this to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, which we have looked at. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The sending of Christ, as believers, we receive Christ, when Christ comes into us, Christ in you is the hope of glory. The way God's glory can be manifested, but not only that, we also, in the transformation process, manifest God's glory. God's glory can be manifested in creation and so on. But one of the most meaningful things that the scriptures reveal to us that God desires is to manifest his glory in and through man. With all our frailties, it is possible. But it's only possible through Christ and God's provision for us in the accomplishment of his purposes. This is the central message. All this is part of the core center of what God wants to transmit. The core center of the good news, the gospel, why God sent Christ into this world. So verses 8 and 9 tells us wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understood and so on. Verse 9, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man. This will tell us that before the revelation of the mystery, man, these are things that man, you try to imagine also, you can't even imagine it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man. Man had no idea what was in the heart of God, which now we are privileged to understand, now revealed to us. And what is that? Paul elaborated. All that God has prepared for those who love him. God loves us. All that he intends for us. All that he has provided for believers in Christ. All that he intends for us in Christ. The various parts of the scriptures, they all come together in a beautiful, wholesome, total picture. And not only that, verse 10, Paul went on to say, for to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. On our own, we will not be able to know these things, understand these things. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Which tells us that this, what all that God has provided for us is only for those who have responded to the gospel. For those who love him. Are those who have already responded to the gospel and continues to trust God, love him, then more and more we can enter into all that God has prepared for us. And God now wants us to know all these things. What has been in his heart, what he wants to accomplish, and especially what he wants to accomplish through his children, through members of the body of Christ, and how all this takes place in the context of the outworking of church life, as Paul explains in Ephesians chapter 4. Let us now look at another very relevant passage in the book of Acts. We've been looking at some phrases in the book of Acts, and let us now look at another very relevant passage in which Paul described his ministry and how he sought to fulfill what the Lord entrusted to him. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 27. And as we look at this passage, bear in mind three features. In this passage, you'll find that basically they are the words of the Apostle Paul. He was speaking to the elders from the church in Ephesus. But it is not in his epistle. The passage is in the book of Acts. It's recorded for us by Luke. I mention all this is to let us know that the scriptures in different portions, they are epistles of Paul, but Acts is not written by Paul. It's by Luke. But the same core areas of truth expressed in different ways come together beautifully, the Lord willing, another time. I may refer to another very interesting expression by the Apostle John. There's very rich in meaning, and the richness comes through powerfully if we bear in mind what we've been considering in these messages. And thirdly is that in this passage, Paul basically is trying to tell us how he seeks to fulfill what God had entrusted to him. And in this passage, we find he uses various expressions, and they are helpful to tell us different angles of looking at it, but it is the same thing. He is talking about what God has entrusted to him and the totality of his ministry for which he devoted his whole life. We approach this passage from the key verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. So let's look carefully at the text. So Acts chapter 20, verse 24. What does it mean? This is a key verse in the scriptures. Many of us may have memorized it, and it's worthwhile memorizing this verse. But we'll now look more carefully at what is Paul trying to tell us in this verse, and then the context and the richness of meaning that he's trying to put across. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul wrote, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." So Paul says he's devoting his life to what? To fulfill the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus. Whatever it takes, I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course. He wanted to complete the course, which is what? The ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus. That is the ministry entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus. And what is that? To testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. So, briefly, we can put it this way. Paul tells us in this verse that he devoted his life to fulfill the ministry entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus, for which he was prepared to give up his life. In fact, that was the context. If you look at the context, you'll find that he was actually told, not only trials, difficulties, he may lose his life if he carries on to Jerusalem. And so he told the Ephesian elders these words. But what is it that Paul was devoting his life to fulfill the ministry? What was it? Paul tells us, it is to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. So this raises the question, what does the gospel of the grace of God encompass? It encompasses his total ministry, for which he was prepared to give up his life. It was the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus. So this is one way of expressing it. If we pause for a while, not so difficult for us to understand why Paul puts it this way. It is the gospel, the good news of God sending Christ into the world with all the implications. And Paul said, puts it this way, the gospel of the grace of God. The good news and what God has done, provided for us in Christ, and the accomplishment of His purposes, a very important aspect that Paul wants us to recognize and to appreciate is an expression of the grace of God. His love for us, His grace, you can so say, His wisdom. So in different contexts, these different phrases will come forth. It is the gospel of the grace of God. So bear in mind, the gospel here is not the narrow sense that believers sometimes associate with the word gospel. I say sometimes, but it's actually quite often. Many believers, when they think of the gospel, they associate it with a narrow sense of the gospel. But Paul is talking about the gospel in the wide and rich sense of meaning. It's the content of Paul's total ministry, the content of the good news that God wants us to receive is what He intends to accomplish in Christ and the intentions for all of us. How we can enter His kingdom and how we can be in Christ and enter into all that God intends for us, including our part in it and all the provisions of God for His children. What we saw just now, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed all these things through the Spirit. And Paul, when he ministers, he doesn't come with human wisdom, but there is wisdom, the wisdom of God, manifested in the revelation of the mystery. So this phrase, the gospel of the grace of God, it covers the same ground as the first example we considered on what was entrusted to Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. If you can still remember that. To fully carry out the word of God. Very major aspect, the ministry of the word, preaching, teaching, by the mention, it's not just that. Fully carry out the word of God in prayer, through His epistles, through His personal example, in many different ways Paul sought to transmit. But very, very important is through preaching and teaching. But it will come forth powerfully only because Paul had spiritual insight. He really knew what he was talking about. The meaning of these things, he deeply appreciated them. That is why he could communicate with much power. And anytime any issue, any problem emerged, he knows how to respond consistent with this message that he has. And it's all part of the carrying out, fully carry out the word of God, including when he tried to help the Corinthian believers to resolve many of the problems that they had. What was that? It was actually to help them so that they can respond well to God's call, work out church life effectively, fulfill what is in the heart of God. And all this is part of fully carry out the word of God, the ministry entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus. So now let us look at the context of Acts chapter 20, verse 24, which tells us the meaning of the gospel of the grace of God. And this is what Paul told the elders of the church in Ephesus. So let us now look more carefully at Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 27. I'm not looking at all the implications of this passage, but bear in mind the central thrust of what I'm trying to communicate to you in these messages, which hopefully we can all see together that this is the revelation in the scriptures. It is in the text. It is in the Bible. This is a central message of the scriptures so that we can all set our hearts not only to have a good grasp of the call center, but to know how to fulfill our part. And also when we read various portions of the scriptures, various of these expressions emerge, we ask ourselves whether there's this whole rich meaning in all these different contexts and expressions. It doesn't mean that every time you see the expression, the word, that means it has all this meaning. But the ministry of the word, yes, Likewise, in the book of Acts, should be Acts chapter 6, when the apostle says, we will devote ourselves to the ministry of the word. It has this whole rich meaning. What does the ministry of the word encompass? Same thing when Paul says he wants to fully care of the word of God in Colossians chapter 1 verse 25, and he elaborated the mystery. We've looked at that in earlier message. So now let us look at Acts chapter 20 verses 17 to 27. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, he called to him the elders of the church. I will not read every word, but most of it from this passage. So verse 18, he said to them, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time. So from the first day and the whole time, all the time, what was he doing? Serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and with trials. A lot of difficulties, trials that came upon him. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. So the whole time, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. What was Paul talking about? He is talking about what we were saying just now. He was seeking to fulfill the ministry that anything that was profitable, he's not talking about teaching people how to cook or even to make tents. You know, he was a tent maker. But declaring to you anything that was profitable, as he goes down, it is quite clear he's seeking to fulfill the ministry entrusted to him, the gospel of the grace of God. Let us continue. Look down. So declaring to you anything that was profitable, bear in mind in the context of verse 21, 24, 25, 27, which we'll be looking at it. So this expression, also bear in mind, anything that was profitable tells us whatever that can be helpful to transmit the good news of the gospel of the grace of God. To be able to, they can contribute towards the fulfillment of God's purposes. The meaning of declaring to you anything that was profitable. If we bear in mind the context, we will carry on. He elaborated, verse 21. All the time, what was he doing? Is this verse 21? Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that was profitable. So in these directions, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is one way of expressing what it is all about. If we understand the meaning and the implications of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, faith, you can then enter into the kingdom of God, become God's children, sins forgiven. But not only that, you continue in faith. And in faith, faith in Christ, opens up to us all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But interestingly, notice here, Paul puts it this way. Solemnly testifying of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we go through the scriptures carefully, we know that true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul is talking about here includes repentance. But why does Paul say repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? He says repentance here is because he wants to highlight a very important area. So different times, he may bring in different aspects into it. But he's talking about the same thing. The repentance, part of true faith, there'll be repentance. But Paul wants to make sure that we get it right. And the wisdom of Paul, the wisdom of God in inspiring Paul to say these words and record it for us. Because we know that through the centuries and until today, there are many who do not properly understand the good news and how to enter into the blessings of God. They may talk about faith in Christ, but there are many who talk about faith in Christ without true repentance. That is not the biblical meaning of faith. Something, so as I trust in Christ, I say I trust in Christ, I'm on my way to heaven. And there are people who think that they have faith in Christ, but they have never truly repented. Repentance in the biblical sense. So Paul says repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said true faith includes repentance. And you put these two together, it captures the totality of it all. If we understand the meaning of faith in Christ and all the implications, that is what Paul is talking about throughout his ministry and what God has entrusted to him. So all the time, Paul is trying to help people to understand, including believers, the need to first, non-believers, the need to repent, have trust in Christ. For believers, the need to continue to maintain a repentant heart, a repentant spirit, including whenever we sin against the Lord, to repent. And we do, from time to time, stumble and fail, and we need to repent. Otherwise, we cannot properly carry on in our walk with God, and our faith in Christ will become incomplete, inadequate, deficient. So Paul went on, he says, bound in spirit on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what happened to me there, except the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await him. So this is the context. Paul knew the Spirit of God wanted him to carry on. He didn't know all that will await him, but he knew. Very significant pain, sufferings, and afflictions will come upon him. And there are those who tried to tell him, don't go to Jerusalem. In verse 24, he says, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. Not that he doesn't try to ensure that he exercises care so that he doesn't injure himself unnecessarily or die when it's not time for him. But he says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself so that, so this the part. In order to finish his course and the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus, he is prepared. Not only to devote his life, but any time to give up his life, if that is required. So that is his attitude. And that's where we saw just now, what is it to finish his course, ministry he received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Another way of putting it is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It covers the same ground. That is the ministry of the Apostle Paul. That is what was entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus. But Paul didn't stop there. And interestingly, verse 25, he went to say, and now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. So verse 25, he introduces another expression. Among whom I went about preaching the kingdom. That's another way of expressing it. He went about preaching the kingdom. That is the same as repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The implications of Paul preaching the kingdom, the implications of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Why? When Paul preached the kingdom, why is it it covers the same ground? Preaching the kingdom, is it just, he keep on saying, preach the kingdom? No, he's talking about preaching the kingdom, the many implications. We have seen earlier, the Lord Jesus, throughout his ministry, one way of describing it is the preaching of the kingdom. We saw this in the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And that's why I mentioned it's actually the same as what Paul was doing. But by the time of Paul, there was further revelation in relation to church life. The time of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, I will build my church. Very important to take note of that. But the Lord Jesus didn't go into a lot of details about church life, how it ought to function. But Paul did. And Paul wrote about all these things. He taught these things. He preached these things. Not from his own heart. But he received them from the Lord. So there's a progression in revelation. But it's all consistent, moving towards the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes, God's calling, and how God wants us to respond to his calling. So Paul says, he went about preaching the kingdom. So, very important, the Old Testament, they had little understanding of the kingdom of God, not zero. Likewise, In the past I've mentioned, the revelation of the mystery is not that in the Old Testament there was zero understanding, but there's very little. It's only with the coming of Christ that the revelation of the mystery in its fullness, in its clarity came about. But there are various major aspects. They are not even revealed at all in the Old Testament. For example, the church. In God's purposes, not revealed at all in the Old Testament. But, I did mention, their pictures and their various principles relevant. But the Old Testament times, they didn't understand that there's the church in God's heart and the church in the fulfillment of God's purposes and so on. Even though this is very, very major, very central. But because it's very central, yes. Now, with the revelation of the mystery, when we read the Old Testament, we can appreciate a lot more than the Old Testament people could of various things in the Old Testament, including the role and the ministry of Christ. The Old Testament people had little understanding of many of these areas that now has been revealed in clarity. But though revealed in clarity, we still need the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our heart so that we can properly appreciate these things. Otherwise, though revealed, recorded for us in the scriptures, we still can have very little understanding. So, preaching the kingdom, we can say is another way to describe Paul's ministry and what was entrusted to him. To preach the kingdom, so that people will know how to enter the kingdom through Christ, repentance and faith in Christ. How to grow in the kingdom. How to grow well in the kingdom as God's children, children of light, in the kingdom of light. All the epistles of Paul are geared towards that, to help believers to grow well. And at the heart of it, he reveals to grow wholesomely. God has given gifts to the church, proper functioning of church life and so on, help the brethren to grow wholesomely. And as you grow well, you will be growing well in God's kingdom. You'll be contributing when you respond well, you'll be contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. That is why at the end of the book of Acts, it tells us Paul, for 2 years, he was preaching Christ and preaching, teaching concerning the kingdom of God. Did he talk about church life? Did he talk about how believers should, how they can grow and so on? Of course. All that is part of the preaching and teaching concerning the kingdom of God. Likewise for ourselves, as we read the scriptures, as we seek to work out, as we respond to God, we bear in mind church life, body life and all that, but also the kingdom of God. When we function well, how to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. They are all interrelated. But Paul didn't stop there. That's why I mentioned this passage is very meaningful and rich in meaning and helps us to see all these things coming together. Verse 26. Paul says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. What is he trying to say? Because I have properly discharged. I didn't keep back anything. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. I went about preaching the kingdom, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the grace of God, all that is that God had entrusted to him, is I have discharged it. I'm innocent of the blood of all men. As far as he understood, he had done what he could. The rest is now up to the Ephesians. He says, I have discharged my part. And Paul also knew that the end of his life, his ministry, is not that distant. But he didn't stop there. He went on. And he says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Verse 25, he says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Why is it he could say he had discharged his responsibility? He says, I've declared to you the whole purpose of God. What is in the heart of God, the purpose of God, the accomplishments of God's purposes, all these things I have tried my best in all ways that I know how, through preaching, through teaching, through prayers, through personal counseling, whatever, in whatever way he knows, he had sought to to communicate the whole purpose of God and all the implications that follow, that flow forth from there. It's the same as when he says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was to the Corinthians. So we can say this expression, the declaring to you the whole purpose of God. The whole purpose of God, you can say, is another way to describe Paul's ministry and what was entrusted to him. So the good news is what he relates to God's purposes and the accomplishment of God's purposes. Same. And declaring to you the whole purpose of God, what was entrusted to Paul, we can see, is the mystery, the fulfillment of God's purposes. And this is the main theme in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, where he explained all this in detail. The stewardship of the mystery, what God had revealed to him, and how it's an expression of God's love, grace, wisdom, and his intentions for us in Christ, and how it's to be worked out in church life, and God's gifts to the church, and the proper functioning of each individual part. If we look further down, Acts chapter 20, verse 31, Paul says, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. So for 3 years, when he was with them, he says, he keeps on, and he says, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Because Paul was very burdened, and the issues involved are very significant. And he says, for 3 years, what was he doing? He was teaching, ministering to the Ephesian believers the ministry God had entrusted to him, and the various expressions he has used in this passage. He says, from the first day that I came to you, that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you, and so on. He says, you know how I spent my time with you. It was to accomplish all this. So I say he uses different expressions, but it has to do with the accomplishment of God's purposes, which now God has revealed how all these things can be carried out. And he says, be on the alert. Now that I have transmitted all this to you, don't just say, yeah, I've heard it, I agree with you. But you have to be on the alert. He also cautioned them in verse 28, now they need to be on guard for themselves and also for the flock, to shepherd the church of God. And he mentions about how savage wolves will come in among you. From among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things. So various problems will emerge, because the evil one will want to destroy the word of God. And all these things that God, that Paul had communicated and helped them to go on, to build up, are very, very important. But the evil will try to destroy it. So Paul says, yes, I've discharged my responsibility. I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Now it's your turn. Be on the alert. I've done what I could. In verse 32, he went on to say, and now, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Again, very meaningful expressions. Paul didn't keep using the same expression, but he's talking about the same thing if you look at it carefully. And he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word. Paul seeking to carry out, fully carry out the word of God. The believers preaching the word. So Paul says, I now commend you to God and to the word. And he says, his, of his grace. You can say this, the word of his grace is another way of saying the gospel of the grace of God. He ministered the word, is that ministering the gospel? Preaching the word is preaching the gospel. So he says, I commend you to the word of his grace. But now he adds this part. I commend you not only to the word of his grace, but he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And Paul wants them to remember. Earlier he had told them, the word of his grace, the gospel, the grace of God, through ministry, it must come in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not human wisdom, but wisdom from God, revelation from God. But as believers seek to work out, sometimes they are not so conscious. So Paul wants to emphasize to them the ministry of the word, reception of the word, transmission of the word, and how the word is able to build you up. Very important, the role of God. Nurturing your relationship with God and the process of your assimilating the word. And the word, as I mentioned, is in all its depth and width and depth. All that God wants to transmit to us, communicate to us through the scriptures, but there is the core center, the central message. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But the totality of it all, there's so much richness in the scriptures that God wants to communicate to us, to teach us, in order that the totality of what He wants to communicate to us can be properly, fully appreciated. But it all flows forth from the core center of what has been in His heart before the foundation of the world, hidden in times past, now revealed with the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take note of these words also, they are very helpful. Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Believers, we want to grow well. How do you grow well? Paul says, very important, the word of his grace. And not just the word of his grace, together with to God and to the word of his grace. But the word of his grace tells us the ministry of the word. The communication, the reception of the truth, the word, the message. And you know, at the heart of the word is Christ himself, who is the word of God. When we seek to transmit, to communicate the word, at the heart of it, if we do it properly, we are helping people to experience more fully the Lord Jesus Christ, if they are believers, if they are non-believers, to enter into that relationship with Christ. So it is an ongoing thing. And if we go about it properly, if our focus, our concentration is correct, we are alert, we know what we are concentrating on, then the ministry of the word will build you up. And it goes together with, it is a communion to God and to the word of his grace. That's why throughout the years, what has been our emphasis? Knowing God and the word that he wants to transmit, or the message that he wants to transmit. The word message there, singular, it encompasses all that God wants to teach us, the truth that he wants us to come to understand. And healthy church life, that is at the core center. Are we functioning well? Are we growing well? Are we helping one another to learn to properly worship God? Submit to him, submit to the kingship of Christ, and him as the head of the body when we come together, and even when we are dispersed. I did mention it properly integrated into church life. The reality of the body continues to function, and all submitted to the head, there will be true unity, and all submitted to the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all participating meaningfully in the fulfillment of God's purposes as he desires of us, as revealed in the scriptures, in our personal life and together as we seek to work out. And he says, able to build up and to give you the inheritance. How more and more we can experience the inheritance that God wants to give to us, but the final consummation of it is still in the future. There's a lot more in the inheritance that awaits us. But right now, while on earth, we can already enter into and experience much that God intends for us in Christ. But there's a lot more that awaits us in eternity. But how much we can experience and participate in eternity and the whole meaning of it, the quality of the meaning of our time in eternity, has a lot to do with now. What we learn, what we enter into, the maturity, our knowledge of God, and how much we've conformed the image of Christ, how much we have come to appreciate, understand, absorb the truth that God wants to teach us and communicate to us. Well, I have to go quickly this last part just to complete today's message. If you refer back to Acts chapter 19, verse 9 to 10, it's a narrative. It tells us Paul was reasoning with the disciples daily at a school of Tyrannus in Ephesus for 2 years. Acts chapter 19, verse 9, that the context, Paul was in Ephesus. So remember, those words were to the elders in Ephesus. So Acts chapter 19, just the earlier chapter, Paul wrote. And the context there tells us that there were those who were not responsive. Verse 9, there were those who were hardened. There were those who were speaking evil the way. And then Paul withdrew from these people. He took away the disciples, reasoning daily at the school of Tyrannus, and this took place for 2 years. So for 2 years, Paul was reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So what was Paul doing? Same as what he was telling the Ephesian elders, discharging the ministry that God had entrusted to him, helping them in whatever way he could to transmit the message, the truth that God wants to communicate to his children so that we can understand, absorb, and respond and be fully involved in our working of God's purposes, just as Paul also was fully involved. But Acts chapter 10 also talks about that this reasoning of the disciples also involves, this is concerning the word of the Lord. So it brings it also, even without this, we already know it has to do with this. But verse 10 actually tells us. So reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, verse 9, this took place for 2 years, so that all who live in Asia heard the word. Both Jews and Greeks, whoever you may be, Paul was ministering the word of the Lord. So for 2 years, Paul was all the time talking about the same thing? No. All that he understood, he sought to come as much as they were able to receive, as much as is appropriate. So he could tell them, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. So let's close today's message with some personal reflection. Let's bear in mind, the Apostle Paul is a very good example for us. Yes, our ministry will not be exactly the same as his, but a number of things are similar. Just as in the body of Christ, we have different roles, but there are certain things that are common. And these are the things we need to learn from the Apostle Paul: his devotion to the Lord, his commitment, the trust of his life. Like the Apostle Paul, we also have been entrusted with the gospel of the grace of God. Like we saw in the Apostle Paul, Acts 20, verse 24. The ministry entrusted to him, to us, in one sense, from one angle, not exactly the same, but from one angle, it is the same. It's the gospel of the grace of God. We also have been entrusted with this gospel of the grace of God. And also to fully carry out the word of God, which Paul testified in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, the mystery. We have also been entrusted with this. But of course, we can only do it to the degree we understand what it's all about, and the reality, the conviction. Then we can be effective. And also, we saw an earlier message, the whole message of this life, Acts chapter 5, verse 20. That was what the angel told the apostles. That was their ministry in relation to the whole message of this life. The kind of life that God intends us to experience and to live out is the whole message, not just partial. The more we appreciate, the more we understand, the more it's real to us, the more we can effectively transmit. And this is true, even if at times we only have a brief time, we may not be able to say a lot. But once that reality, that meaning is there, you look to God for wisdom, you know what to say, and the words will come through powerfully. But if what you understand, the reality of these things, is very little, then correspondingly, what you can transmit will be little. The Lord Jesus says, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. Is it so that all the light shines equally brightly? No. But how brightly will be related to the quality of life? Said of the Lord Jesus, John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The quality of the light of the Lord Jesus in all its fullness, so the light shines in all its brightness. Same thing for us. So we need to reflect, ask ourselves, are we well equipped to fulfill our calling effectively and faithfully? At a personal level and together in church life, there's a personal responsibility, but there is very important aspect of how to work out together corporately. Paul says very important is whether we are trustworthy stewards of the mysteries of God. So ask ourselves, are we trustworthy stewards of the mysteries of God? But how can you be a trustworthy steward if you hardly know anything about the mysteries of God? So we need to know what is it, and as much as possible in all its fullness. So we then need to ask ourselves, do we recognize the importance of these issues? Are we setting our hearts on being well equipped so that we can effectively transmit the whole message of this life, so that we can be effective witnesses and ambassadors for Christ? We are familiar with these phrases. What does it mean? Effective witnesses is witness to what we know. So we need to know these truths for ourselves. Form deep convictions grounded in God's revelation in the scriptures that goes together with a lively walk with God. So that these truths are not just concepts, and they are always in our hearts. The burden that will come from the Lord, because God has these burdens in his heart, that the truth be transmitted. Christ has accomplished his part during his time on earth. But now it doesn't mean that Christ is resting. He is still working, but now he's working through us, his disciples. Now we have to fulfill our part. But the interesting thing is that as we fulfill our part, we are also growing. And we need to learn and grow, and in that context, transmit the truth. And as we faithfully transmit the truth, we will keep deepening in our appreciation of the truth, which includes a deepening appreciation of God and the ways of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit and how God wants us to function and to work out together in church life. And if we respond well, if there's a reasonable number of us in our midst who take this seriously, we respond well to God, then all the time, the contribution in the spiritual realm will be taking place continually, not just when we are gathered together, but yes, including when we are gathered together, Sundays, Wednesday meetings, home fellowship meetings, but not just that, all the time, and not just at a personal level, there will be the corporate dimension. The overflow and the transmission of life from the body. Because the body, the reality of it takes place in the spiritual realm, will not be hindered, obstructed by space, geography. So let us now spend some time to prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper and ask the Lord to help us to see more clearly what he's trying to transmit to us through the scriptures, that the eyes of our hearts may be open, as Paul prayed for believers in Ephesians chapter 1. The eyes of the heart needs to be opened, and not just once, continually, more and more. What God wants to communicate to us in all its richness, we'll be able to receive, absorb. Our minds will be renewed, our hearts transformed, and our lives will work out accordingly. As the Lord Jesus puts it, we'll be acting on the words of the Lord, what we received from him. And all this can come about only in the context of spiritual reality, the work of the Holy Spirit, grounded in what was accomplished at the cross. And the principle of Christ lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let us ask the Lord to help us to appreciate this truth more deeply, how he wants us to respond to him, and bearing in mind one another, upholding one another, working out as God desires of us, submission to Christ the head, and the proper working of each individual part in the body of Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for making known to us the mystery of your will according to your kind intention which you purpose in Christ. What was in your heart even before the foundation of the world, not revealed in times past, but revealed only with the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ, the Messiah. We thank you that we are living in the new covenant. And we thank you that we have access to all that you intend for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that together with the revelation and your provisions, there also comes the responsibility to respond well to your high calling. We pray that you will speak to each one of us and help us to deeply treasure the truth you revealed in the scriptures, that our hearts may be eager to understand what you desire to teach us, to communicate to us through the scriptures, especially the central message of the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel of the grace of God. Like the Apostle Paul, we may also set our hearts and in a position to respond well to the fully to carry out the Word of God. We know that there's much that you desire to teach us through the Scriptures, and we pray that you will help us not to be slothful, but to be diligent. And most of all, that our hearts may be receptive, that we'll always walk with you in a spirit of humility, eager to learn, thankful that you desire to teach us, and that we will not miss the many things you sought to impart to us because of hardness of heart. We know also that what we have learned need to renew our minds and need to be put into practice in our daily lives. And we ask for each one of us to end together in church life. We may know how to fulfill the part you desire of us in your plans and purposes. Even now we thank you for the Lord's Supper. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that as we partake together, we may continue to deepen in our convictions of what you desire to teach us and respond well to you. The important areas that you want us to work at, and also to put away all that hinders, all that distracts us from your calling. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.